1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Got another flashback by request coming up. That actor that I was mentioning from the movie Prince of the City, his name is Tony Munafo. And it just had an interest. He had an interesting way of delivering his lines. He was this Italian hood character in the movie Prince of the City. He's the cousin of the main character Treat Williams plays. And he talked really fast. He'd say, "Come on, what do you mean with the kids, JFK? I'm going to give you $75,000. You go anywhere in the world you want to go. And when you get there, I'm going to give you another $75,000. And then you won't be around." And Treat Williams says, "I just want to be a good guy." "Who are you going to be a good guy to? To me? And be good because I introduced you to some people?" Anyway, I looked this guy up on IMDb, and I thought the guy was very interesting, that character. But look at all the characters he plays. Frankie the Roach, a drinker, a canister drug driver, prisoner, Tony. You don't even have a name. You're prison guard, doorman, furniture man, watchman, Big Mike, collector number two. Collector number two. That's Tony Munafo. He also was in a lot of Rocky movies. All right, it's time now for our next flashback request that comes to us from someone who just identifies themselves cryptically as Big Jam. And he writes, "Hey, Phil, I want to make a flashback request for a bit with Steve Bozell when he was upset." I figure it's a guy, because what chick would call herself Big Jam? Well, on second, what, don't look like that, bud.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of girls in it. Ow!
He says, "Phil, I want to make a flashback request for a bit with Steve Bozell when he was upset about all the attention Kobe Bryant was getting for raping the white girl because Steve had raped a guy in college and nobody was paying any attention or giving support to him." Man. "Keep doing your thing because you're the king of radio comedy. You savvy? Big Jam." All right, Jam. Here it is.
Yeah, Mr. Bozell, I think your mind was raped in 85. If you think that Mr. Bryant is only getting attention because he's black, you are so wrong and pathetic.
No, I didn't say that's the only reason, but that's a big, big, big part of it.
No, it's no part of it. It's because who he is. Kobe Bryant's name is mentioned. He automatically grabs attention of everybody, no matter what he does. Black people every day in this country get charged with rape. You don't see him all over the news. It wouldn't make any difference what color he was.
Well, let me ask you, because how come I didn't get the same media coverage?
Because you were nobody, that's why. Who the hell wanted to interview you? I mean, you were nothing. I mean, you could draw no attention.
That may be true as far as you're concerned, but I was living at that time on campus in Tennessee at this university, and I was very well known
probably were ashamed of you is what it was, and they probably wanted to hide the fact that one of their alumni would do such a dastardly deed. I mean, let's get real.
See how you describe it? But Kobe Bryant, you want to give him all kinds of accolades, and he's been charged with the same thing.
Nobody's giving him anything. I mean, he's being charged with a serious crime.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant hasn't been convicted yet, though. You admit you did it.
That's really not... I don't think that's relevant, though, because...
You have a problem. You have a deeper problem than you have some type of... You need some type of confirmation for what you've done or something. I don't know what it is, but I think you need to seek help.
Sir, I don't need any help. I'm simply on the radio.
You
show
definitely today. Need help. Anybody who would call and announce that they raped a guy in a wheelchair and wants attention and was mad because he didn't get attention, you don't think you need help? You definitely need help.
Sir, all I'm asking is a logical question. Why didn't I get coverage...
Because you were nobody. You were nobody. How many times do I got to tell you that? You're nobody now, and you're nobody then. Now you got to face the facts that you're nobody.
Okay, I understand that I'm not famous nationally, but I said in the Murfreesboro Tri-County area, my case is more unusual than Kobe's. I raped a man. You're right, I did, and it's bad. It's very bad. I raped a man.
They were ashamed of it. They were probably ashamed of it.
No, but
if
you think objectively about it, I raped a guy in a wheelchair, and the media should have been all over that. That's pretty big news. You don't think that's big news?
No.
Oh, okay.
No way.
All right, Frank. Frank's point, I think, is pretty well made. I mean, you know, you might be known in the Tri-County area of Murphy, whatever the hell that was, but, Kobe Bryant is not only a national name, he's an international name, and this case has implications positive and negative. And,
but what I'm trying to say is the fact that I raped a guy in a wheelchair, that makes up for the fact that I'm not Kobe G.D. Bryant and he's in all of his black skin.
And that is Steve Bozell. Steve Bozell and his whole, he's hurt. He's hurt because he didn't get the same media attention that Kobe Bryant got, and he did the exact same thing. Well, sort of. Now, I want to tell you, on our website at www.philhenryshow.com, we have a search engine. If you go to the character clip section, you'll find a search engine. Now, Mark and I are looking for a bit that contains the keyword euthanasia, because we have a number of requests here, and people sometimes will say, well, I'd like to hear this bit, Phil. I don't know the character, but it was about euthanasia, right? So I just went to our website. I entered the word euthanasia, and I found a bit, calling Kristen Brewster, euthanasia travel package, November 2000. That ain't it? Not only that, but that's back prior to the FCC wetting its pants about all kinds of things. And the broadcast industry, you know, following along, wagging its tail. So we don't have, all of that material is like gone, man. All right, so I hope I can say the broadcast industry, I hope I can criticize the broadcast industry. Can I do that? Is that okay? You mean I can't even do that? Jesus, what, you know, I'm telling you, this, I'm getting out of radio at just the right time. I'm telling you. You can have it. Deshaun, you can have it, man. Rusty, take it away, baby. Rush, good luck, baby. Laura, have fun. Romy, embrace it. Wrap your arms around it. Me, I'm long gone, baby. I'm going down the road. I'm going to take out, maybe about 2 weeks, kick back, smoke a big fat freaking stogie, and then we're jumping in with both feet, and we're going to get involved in a, you know, guess what? I think I may write another animated pilot. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I think I might get into an animation thing, because I would love to bring these characters to life in an animated form without hiring other voices. I would like, in other words, Trey and Matt taught me something. Matt Stone and Trey Parker, when we did that flick Team America, those dudes did 90% of the voices. In fact, I think Trey did 90% of them. Guy did a whole movie doing all the voices himself. Why can't I do that with a freaking animated show? I'll do all the voices myself. I'll write the whole thing myself. I'll produce the whole thing myself. And at the end of the week, I'll die of a heart attack. And that'll be our cliffhanger. All right, so if you go to the website, I don't know how I got sidetracked, just enter in a keyword, and it's a very, very effective way of sometimes, not always, but I would say 90% of the time, finding the bit that you're looking for. So it's www.philhenryshow.com, our character clip archive. Coming up, we've got a classic here from Doug Danger, and this is when he wanted to be one of the embedded journalists. You know, Doug is our gay man and gay journalist. He never says anything without saying he's a gay man and a gay journalist, and he wanted to go to Iraq and be one of the journalists that was right there, because as a gay man, he's got a way better ability to tell the truth than than straight journalists. It's coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I will smother that boy in a pair of D cups.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I have entered garden, deer rifle, euthanasia, elderly, and parents into our search engine, and I can't find, after I plugged the search engine, I can't find the bit that someone has requested. You remember the bit we did where a guy, you know, your parents go wandering out, you know, your elderly parents, it's euthanasia, they go wandering out into a beautiful rose garden, and there's like one of the male nurses has a deer rifle and puts them out that way? Does anybody remember the name of the character? I'm trying to find it on our search engine. If I get the keyword, I'll be able to do it. All right. Time now for another flashback by request. Again, this is a good one from Doug Danger. Lieutenant Matthew Young, who is in the United States Army, wrote this one. He says, Phil, he's actually in Iraq. One of my favorite shows is Doug Danger talking about how he wants to be an embedded journalist and get eye to eye with the insurgents. He would make a great embed because he is gay. Lieutenant Matthew Young. Here it is, Doug Danger.
Hi. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this your caller said that he's only been out of the closet a year.
Ma'am. I've been out since last summer.
Well, I don't know how you've had enough time to have experienced the gay lifestyle if you've only been out of the closet a year.
Look, I'm gay. Are you gay?
No, I'm not
all
gay.
Right.
But
well, I don't see how you could talk with any authority on it. So.
Well, I'll tell you how I can. I work in the fashion industry.
Well, you're not gay, so you can't.
I work in the fashion industry. I work with a lot of gay people. They're as wonderful and as varied.
Are you saying there's gay people in the fashion industry?
They are as varied as any other people that you'll meet. There are those,
ma'am, you're racially profiling. You're racially profiling.
I'm not profiling anything.
You are. You're saying,
but I think
fags work in the dress design business.
First of all, I don't call people.
Yeah,
names.
You use the word
I don't
fag.
See why,
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, I think that all you want to do is be on the radio and making that point. And I also think that you're being extremely disrespectful to people who have been over there working in their jobs and been killed, the families of those people who have been killed overseas.
I'm not talking about soldiers. I'm talking about journalists.
I'm talking about journalists. Journalists who've given their life out there. You haven't spent one day on the front line.
I haven't heard
you haven't
about
spent
any
one day
lives.
Over there.
You haven't heard about any of them giving their lives? Well, give me a name.
Daniel Pearl.
Daniel Pearl was in Pakistan talking to Al-Qaeda. I'm talking about
being in a war zone. He was in a military conflict. He was out in a military situation, in a terrorist situation.
But he was gay.
And let me ask you something.
Wasn't he a cameraman?
Are you a cameraman?
Am I a camera? No, ma'am. I'm an old-school, hard-nosed reporter. I'm going to be firing dispatches back.
Where have you been doing your hard-nosed reporting?
Firing dispatches back from the front.
Where have you been doing your hard-nosed reporting?
15-year journalist. See, you're telling me about my business, and then you're also telling me about my sexual orientation. I don't know what your qualifications are, other than the fact that you've been around a lot of queens prissing around in a chamomile robe or something.
How can you be so disgusting? I don't use that type of terminology.
No, but you're saying you know all about my sexual orientation.
No,
and
I'm
my
not
job
saying I know anything.
Because
I'm not saying
sew,
I know anything about it.
Because
but
you're
I
a
am
seamstress
saying,
for a talent for a fashion
no,
show.
No.
Well, look at Doug.
Don't condescend to the caller. Excuse me. I'm saying that you've only been living in an acknowledged gay lifestyle for a year. I don't think that gives you
I'm gay.
To talk about what you can accomplish. I don't think that gives you the...
Well, you're not gay at all. I don't think that gives you... Other than the fact that you sew buttons on shirts for some gay designer, doesn't mean that... You know, is James Bond gay? No. James Bond isn't gay. I could be...
I think that you'd better take... I think you'd better take a few steps
James
in the
Bond.
Footsteps of people who've been in war sites and actually
I'm
been stealth. There before
one of the reasons,
you make statements like you're making.
Look, I'm a gay
and
man and a gay journalist.
Any,
as
I
such, I can be
any,
stealthy.
I think that any
right.
any part of the media that would send you over with an attitude like you have is disgraceful.
Ma'am, I don't see what's wrong with my attitude. I'm proposing to give you what you're not getting, which is hard-nosed reporting from the front in Iraq. I'm
going
to get right up into an insurgent's nest and watch as the bullets sear through their faces.
You know
the back
what?
Of their
I
heads
think you
and
just
into another
be on
guy's
the
face.
Radio making statements like that.
Doug, you're being a little graphic.
Here we go. Look, the American people want this kind of... They want to know the damage the Marines are doing. They want to know the successes of our soldiers, and we're not getting that news. We're getting a lot of Little Red Riding Hoods and Little Mary Jane over there. These guys want to get back home to their old lady and go out to the, you know, five and dime and just have a regular life. I'm going to go
you
over there,
what?
And I'm going
How
to watch as Marines
like
pump shot
people?
After shot. Well, because
How
I'm looking at the
can
reporting.
You be so disrespectful?
I'm a journalist. I'm gay.
There you go. He's gay. He's gay. It's Eric Hester. We found out, by the way, the name of the Death with Dignity bit when you shoot your parents walking through a park. So we're going to find that bit, or we're going to die trying. As Patton said, let no one come back alive. Okay, anyway, I don't know. That has nothing to do with anything. We've got another one here for you now. Back to back, like they used to say in the old days, man, back when we were spinning records. Back to back, baby, plays more music. And this one is from Tristan. And she says cheers, so I'm thinking maybe she's Canadian. No American says cheers. Thank you. Oh, and by the way, Tristan is on Sweet Feathery Jesus. Her ID is rentachinaman.com. Phil, could you please play a clip from Ted Bell's near miss at being sued for sexual harassment when he bought a vibrator for one of his female employees as a secret Santa gift, but then he blamed it on some Mexican busboy that was getting fired that same week? Yeah, that sounds like Ted. And here he is.
I just want to tell him that I, Mr. Bell, that I think he's wrong and I think he's a racist. He keeps saying that this kid is going back down a dirt road with a knapsack and a tea sandwich.
Wait a minute, how does that make me a racist?
Well, sir, you have no right to even think this man got a knapsack on his back and going down a dirt
road. Yeah, but how is that
how
a racist? How am I a racist?
Money?
How am I a racist?
Well, that's the way it sounds to me and everybody
well,
else that's been
well,
listening to
it. It may sound that way to you, but maybe you need to clean the wax out of your ears. I'm not.
Wait, hold on, Ted.
Well, he's calling me a racist. I didn't say I'm a racist. How do you figure I'm a racist because I say a guy has a knapsack?
Well, what makes you think that he's going home that way? Tell me that. Where you get that idea from?
In other words, if a guy walks down a dirt road with a harmonica, I'm a racist?
Sir, just answer my question.
All right, what's your question?
My question is, what makes you think he's walking with a cheese sandwich and a knapsack?
I believe he's going back to Mexico with a cheese sandwich and a knapsack because isn't that how a lot of you people came here?
No.
What do you mean, you people?
You know what I'm talking about. The restaurant. Do you work in a restaurant, sir?
Sir, I used to own one of the largest restaurants in the state of California, black restaurant. So, you know, I don't want to get into that.
Well, black restaurant, I don't know if that counts. But
what does that mean, you don't know if it counts?
No, I'm talking about, I've got a chain restaurant. See, I got four of them.
Well, what do owning a restaurant have to do with the way you treat a person?
Look at,
if you own a clothing store, you still should treat them right.
I don't have anything against anybody, John. All I
sir, you lied on the man. Don't you have principles and morals?
This guy's down in Mexico.
Do you have principles and morals?
He's down sheep herding right
do
now.
Do you have principles and morals?
Do I have principles and morals?
Yes.
By who?
What do you mean by who?
What is he talking about?
Do you have principles? Are you a principled man?
Yes, I'm a principled man. I just got done telling that other guy. I've got people who depend on this business, employees. Don't you think that's principled
enough? You know, I'm thinking about filing that lawsuit myself since you done put it all on the
radio. What are you going to sue me for? Look, you're retired. You're retired. You're sitting there drinking a tall boy, watching television, watching Roller Mania, whatever it is. Don't bother yourself with a bunch of stuff that you don't care about. Just because a guy's walking down a road with a knapsack, a cheese sandwich, and a harmonica doesn't mean that you're going to get all
nuts. Let me tell you something about me. Let me tell you something about me. I am retired. I had 35 contracts in airports, and I do all right. I might be doing better than Bell. I might file this lawsuit. If I can find out who the girl
all
is,
right,
if she don't have the money, I'll put it up for her.
How long did you own that Denny's?
What Denny's?
Did you say you owned a Denny's?
He did not. He said he had a contract. He was a food service contract, sir?
No. I had SkyCap contracts in airports.
Oh, so you're the guy that brought the little, the chicken breast on the airplane?
No, I'm not, sir.
Well, then I don't understand.
Look at Ted. Why don't you just accept the fact that this gentleman is a business owner like yourself, understands the risks and the perils, okay?
Well, then he ought to know what the bottom line is. I'm Ted Bell. You know who I am, right, John?
Ted Bell.
Right.
You know what?
I'm Ted Bell.
You sound like the scum of the earth on the radio.
Well, then obviously you don't know who Ted Bell is.
That don't mean nothing to me.
You don't know who... You're in the restaurant business and you don't know the name Bell. Ted Bell.
No.
T-E-D. Are you spelling it right?
He doesn't know who you are.
Well, that's impossible. That's impossible.
You're the type of person I don't want to know.
Look, I own a steakhouse. You come. I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you, John. Come on in. I'm going to give you the biggest, thickest, juiciest steak you've ever had in your life. Get a beautiful chick to sit in your lap, feed you a whole bunch of rum, and pile you back into your car and send you down the road happy.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pass. You're not the type of person that I would want to give me something.
But we don't.
And I'm not one looking for handouts.
But I got to tell you, we don't serve slams at Ted. So.
All right. Look at. John, I appreciate very much your call. The fact is, Ted, if that girl just finds out it was you, you're in deep, deep doo-doo.
Oh, she ain't going to find out that I get you.
Yeah, does she have a radio?
Oh, Jesus.
Yep, there it is, Ted. You've been on the air blathering it. Ted Bell, the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. And by the way, after we are, our last broadcast is June 23rd, after we are gone from the air, I do hope you will continue to patronize Ted's of Beverly Hills. Big, thick, juicy meat. And also, get that Ted, baby. It's a rum and coke. That's it. It's probably a badly made rum and coke, too. Like, it's probably about 7 shots of rum and like a half a shot of coke, and you're drinking straight freaking lighter fluid. What is that stuff? I bet you know what a Ted is? It's like 9 shots of 151 and like some, you know, like watered down diet coke. Sounds good to me. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show on Flashback Night. Tonight we are we're trying to plow through many of these flashback requests that we've had down through the months, through the years. We want to play them all before we go off the air, and we're having a specific flashback night every so often so that we can do that. And we've got another one coming up, another classic, so stick around. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm ready to eat my own guts.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We got a Jeff Dotter flashback request coming up. First, there's an email from Aaron. He says, thanks for letting us know about the souvenir shop. I have to make sure I buy what I want before the, before it's all gone, because our souvenir shop, we're going to sell everything and then it's done, baby. Hey, it might be worth something someday. Yeah. Anyway, he says, well, I remember you reading a book, I think it was about Hitler. Do you remember which book it was? I'd like to know, because I'm thinking about doing some reading. Thanks, Phil. Yeah, it's a book about Hitler. It's called Hitler. And the guy was, I don't know. It was some book. All right, now, our flashback request.
Well, that's great. How intelligent.
What's intelligence got to do with talk radio?
Well, are you kidding me? What does intelligence got to do with talk? Everything. The people talk about it.
Intelligence has got nothing to do with talk radio. I've been telling you that over and over again, bud, you retard.
Yeah, you'll be sorry when I have my own talk show.
Oh, yeah, that's cool, man. Maybe you'll come on after what's-her-face. I can't say her name, but I'll give you a hint, okay?
All right.
Pigtails. Now.
Is she Chinese?
No, she ain't Chinese. In any event, hi, Phil. Flashback request. Jeffrey Dowder explaining what would happen if there was no concrete. How planes would have to land on the top of trees. I crack up every time I think of it. Thanks for everything, Evan. This was part of Jeff's old show called Theoretical America. What if we didn't have concrete? It's time for Hypothetical America, right, Jeff?
It sure is, Mr. Henry. It's time for Hypothetical America. And tonight, I'll talk about what if we didn't have any, what if we had no concrete? I mean, tell me how messed up that would be. But first, I want to let everybody know that our drum clinic has been rescheduled from this Saturday to the following Saturday. That means it'll be on February the 12th. Will be our drum clinic, because this Saturday is like Super Bowl weekend, and a lot of families are out of town. A lot of people are traveling for the Super Bowl. They're getting out of town for it.
And wait. What do you mean they're getting out of town for it?
Well, just traveling, trying to get away from it.
I didn't know that the Super Bowl weekend was a big travel weekend.
Yeah, people are travel a lot. They just want to get in the car and go. They're just tired of it all.
Okay.
So anyway, so that's why we're rescheduled for February the 12th, our drum clinic, which will feature the basics of jazz drumming, which will be taught by myself, Jeff Dowder. Also, Toby Bowe and Chris Sorensen will be there, two drummers, another band. One of them is Leadfoot. I'm in the band Dark Horse. I was with the Leadfoot Twins. And, of course, Chris Sorensen's been the drummer for the highly touted local L.A. band Love Can't Last Forever. Okay, so what I want to do now is, it's happening at my drums right here, Phil. I'm trying to master a particular Dave Brubeck riff. If you've ever heard the song Take Five.
Yes, I have.
Okay, that's in 5/4 time. That's why Dave Brubeck called it Take Five. In other words, you know, you can't just, it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's how.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, so, and here's really what it sounds like. It goes like this. Okay, so that's really the riff.
You know, I got Take Five on a CD collection someplace, and I've heard it's pretty good song. It's a 50s jazz song, right?
Absolutely.
But, and who's the drummer?
Drummer on Take Five is a drummer by the name of Joe Morello. Very cool drummer.
Okay. He didn't sound like that, man.
Well, you know, are you a jazz musician?
No.
Well, I don't know if you could really understand. But this is the Take Five riff.
Well, Take Five goes...
Yeah, I know how it goes. And then you go...
What the hell, man? That doesn't sound anything like...
Hey, man, you're really offending me now, you know, so... Jazz drumming's tough to get. Like, I'll do the saxophone playing voice.
Well, All you need is a kid screaming in the background. It sounds like there's a kindergarten going on.
God, what a harsh ass you are, man. I'm coming on your program.
I'm sorry. Let's just do hypothetical America.
No, man. No, I don't think so. I'm coming on your program, and...
Did I tell you you could promote your drum clinic?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm sorry.
Oh, so in other words, I come on to promote my drum clinic, and I take your abuse.
Mr. Dowder, with all due respect, sir, I'm not a professional musician. You're right. I didn't recognize what you were doing.
Yeah, because those are intricate jazz riffs. I mean, it takes a lot of time, a lot of years, and a lot of time. It takes not only a lot of years, but it takes a lot of time. Okay? You don't get that?
No, I'm not a musician, so I don't understand jazz.
Okay.
So go ahead. Can we do Hypothetical America?
Okay. It's time for Hypothetical America. What if we didn't have any concrete? The freeways would be dirt, and tell me that wouldn't be messed up. Also, if there was no concrete, the band Concrete Blonde, they'd just be called Blonde. And there's also a band called Blondie. So they'd get swallowed up even more than they got swallowed up. You know what I'm saying? In other words, hi, my name's Blondie, and what's your band's name? Blonde. Oh, real original, man. Are you ripping us off? No. Well, what do you mean? Because we were going to be Concrete Blonde, but no concrete got invented. So I guess we're out. Yeah, I guess you're out of luck. So that would suck. The Empire State Building would be made out of either plastic or wood, and planes would have to land in trees because there wouldn't be any runways. Which, how's that going to work out? You know, I mean, that's completely messed up. So, yeah, we're coming in for a landing now on top of that forest. And just hang on and hope that, you know, this time out we only lose like half of our passengers. Yeah, I mean, you realize that means, Mr. Henry? Every time an airline flies, passengers, you know, like last year we only had, you know, 10,000 passengers killed as opposed to United Airlines.
Well, maybe they'd mow the trees down.
What?
What do you mean they're going to land on trees? Maybe they'd make a runway.
There would be no concrete.
It'd be a dirt runway, man. The freeways are made out of dirt.
That's cars, man. That's a whole other paradigm. Also, there'd be no places to walk at the beach in Santa Monica. So you're just walking on sand. That sucks. And the other thing, rollerblading would be a bitch and a half at the beach because, hello, let's go rollerblading in sand. God, man. I mean, that's, also, your feet would get hot. And a lot of stuff. I'm Jeff Dowder, and that's Hypothetical America. One, two, one, two, three.
What a moron. Jeff Dowder's Hypothetical America, what if there wasn't any concrete? That lasted how many days with us, bud?
It's only about once.
It was maybe like one or two of them. All right, we're going to be back with another beautiful, and by the way, we found it. We found Death with Dignity, the Eric Hester bit. We'll be playing that, where you can put... You can euthanize your elderly parents with a bow and arrow. Sorry, I don't mean to. It's pretty sick. Anyway, that's coming up. Read some more email. And again, this is our flashback night. We are trying to get a lot of our flashbacks played and out of the way before our last broadcast, June 23rd. Don't forget our poker tournament, the Phil Henry Celebrity No Limit Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament. To benefit my friend's place, May 27th at the Bicycle Club at Bell Gardens, please log on to www.thebike.com. That's www. How many W's did I say? www. I did four. www.thebike.com.
Yeah, that's three.
And they'll give you more information.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, sweet God, do I got a rock.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We actually had to go to some length to find this bit because it was not yet. I got just a mental note. Well, actually, a verbal note here, Doug. If you're listening to the show, we got to put this into the archives, man. But we found it, and well, here's the letter that requests this flashback. It's from Eddie. I think that's a made-up name. There ain't nobody named Eddie anymore, because we use that name a lot on the air. I think this guy's name is probably something like Sean or Justin. Anyway, really hate to see you go, Phil. I'd absolutely love to hear a bit you did around 2 years or more ago. It featured one of your guests that you rarely have on, maybe Eric Hester, I'm not sure, and he was on to discuss the euthanasia business that he had just started. For a certain fee, your loved one could wander through a beautiful flowered garden while a hidden sniper took aim and placed a slug right behind your aged relative's ear. I think he also discussed offering the service to Bob Hope for free to get some publicity. Anyway, here it is. We believe, and there was also a bow and arrow reference in it. Here it is, and death with dignity.
I have changed too many diapers. I have cleaned and rinsed out too many bedpans. I have mopped up oceans of drool and liver bile. And I can tell you, sir, I would much rather put a bullet in their head than have to do that again, and they would much rather I do it. You would not want your son to dispatch you.
Bill, I have no comment.
You don't want your son dispatching you with a laser-sighted hunting rifle.
Listen, Phil. Let me say something.
Let me answer that. No, I would not.
What if you wore antlers?
No, I wouldn't care if I wore antlers.
Phil, here's a comment, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Remember this: Dr. Kevorkian had everybody that he ever killed.
Oh, here we go with Dr. Kevorkian.
Consent of everybody. He has been convicted of murder. Okay, that's another comment.
What about the bar of soap and lampshades? You guys haven't commented on that.
I think that's pretty sick is why I haven't commented on that. But irregardless, and another thing...
Yeah, I had to get sick, too, because I just went on a website. Governor, that's what the Nazis did.
Well, they had a couple of good ideas.
If the governor, listen to this. If the governor consents to this, he, in my opinion, and I'm sure that in a lawyer's opinion, will be also a party to murder if he does this.
All right, Barney Fife, but remember, you're not an attorney.
There's no need to insult him by calling him Barney Fife.
Well, he's not a lawyer, is he?
You know something?
You're not a lawyer, are you?
A small-minded person that he is cannot insult me, because if you think that you're right by this, then you have a very small mind, and I know where you'll be if you do something like this.
Robert, are your parents elderly?
My parents are not as old as what you're making that comment.
A day can come, Robert, when you and your parents could get together. Don't you think it would be a beautiful moment for yourself and your parents if you let your parents give them a running head start? And
Wait. Are you going to talk about shooting your parents?
Let me tell you something. There's not a day in this world where I see me ever doing anything such as that.
If I thought
that you were going to do something like that to my parents, I know what I would do to you, and I know how I would suffer.
I'm saying,
regardless, you are
entering a wonderful
and
era.
If you break the law, you will be punished. I'm sure of that.
Well, Robert, you could walk out into a beautiful clearing in the woods with your own parents. Just tell them to get going. Give them a head start.
Why don't you do this? And I hate to say this.
And we do have a bow and arrow.
Why don't you go ahead and walk out in that field and let somebody do that to you? Because we don't think that you are going to do that to any of our parents.
Why would I do that? Why would I do that? I'm 39 years old.
I know why you should do it. To give me a taste of your own medicine.
Absolutely.
Bar of soap and lampshades.
Well, I saw it in a movie.
Yeah, that's great.
I will say this, Robert, there's nothing more beautiful than to give your parents a running head start and draw down on them with a laser-sighted...
Yeah, that's fine. The guy knew I was going to hang up, so he starts talking really fast.
Phil, if you pick the bow and arrow package, you get a free T-shirt, so...
Yeah, okay. I've heard some sickness. What?
Can I tell you about the April Fool's special?
Where? At your garden walk of life?
Yes. On April 1st, you allow your elderly parent to walk through our garden, and one of our staff sneaks up on them, pops a fully inflated balloon next to their head, and scares them to death. Now, one of the things...
Get it? Okay. There it is. Death with dignity. I'm sure... Can you imagine a wonderful setting? Let them get going. Eric Hester's Death with Dignity, obviously that did not take off. We got a bow and arrow package. I just love, put the word package after anything, and...
How about, have you seen my package?
You see me laughing, man?
That's funny as hell. Why do you not laugh?
I ain't laughing at that, because you're not funny. I'm funny, you're not, you see? That's the difference between us. Me funny, you know funny.
What are you talking like a tart for?
In any event, we've got another request coming up for you on our flashback night. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, just for your general knowledge, although we're not taking any phone calls this evening. This just in, Howard Dean says he is the chairman of the Democratic Party. He says he doesn't want any fags in his party. All right, thank you. We just thought we'd let you know. He did, man. He did. And then he said, well, excuse me, I misstated that. We'll be right back on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Crap is not really the word for it. Crap is solid.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What a day, man. Anyway, we've got more to come on the Phil Hendry Show flashback night. I don't want to play a flashback here. We only got a minute or so before we take a little tiny itsy-bitsy break. I got some email to read here. I'd like to read this. Willie Alvarez writes, Phil, I love sports radio. I never called or emailed any other show. When I heard your show after a Laker game one night, I thought it was the stupidest show I ever heard. I heard it in my car with my wife. Then suddenly I caught the jokes and the point of the show and fell in love, but my wife does not get it and can't believe you have all these crazy guests. What's to understand? If I say to somebody, it's me doing the voice of the guest, and the person says I don't get that, then I know I can't be dealing with anybody that's too bright. Honest to God. And do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that this has been said to people who are program directors and general managers and broadcast executives in this business? Hi, what I do is I do a show, and then I play the part of the guest, and then people call in and they think they're real. I don't get it. Thank you, sir. And by the way, how is the stock over there at Emmis? Now then, oh, you mean you're not public anymore? You're going to be private? Oh, am I fired? They're taking me off the air, folks. Goodbye. It's been great knowing you.
1-800-449-8686.
You know how drunk a black man has to get to sleep with Reba McEntire.